So, Fred, why did you decide to do some 5-minute segments?
Well, they were offered to me, and I thought that they would be interesting to do. And there were a couple things I wanted to say about dinosaurs, see if I could get any reaction about that when they televised it. There was another idea or two I had. Then when I got here, I wound up being asked a lot of questions and did a bigger interview than I had figured on. And Richard broke that up into 5-minute segments. So after that, when people started telling me, I didn't know that many people watched it. I was surprised how many people I know actually watched that channel. And they said, oh, yeah, I watched that. Yeah, I watched. And so they say, we saw you on TV. We saw you on TV. And so I was interviewed for a longer period of time than I figured and was broken up into 5-minute segments. Sometimes I wonder what they actually saw me saying, you know, because a lot of it wasn't rehearsed, and I'm not so sure how good a lot of it was, or if I maybe said something I shouldn't have.
So, Fred, you seem to have like a deep love of reading history, analyzing and thinking about things. Do you think you got that from your father, mother, grandparents, brothers or sisters?
Well, maybe a little. My mother was a school teacher, but I think maybe more likely from my father. But I tended to concentrate on detail more than a lot of people, and that even came through in physical things I did. Like as a young person, I would put together plastic airplanes and do real fine detail. You know, and I was nearsighted. It allowed me to pay a lot of attention to things, and I would pay attention. I was interested in the details of things, the background of things. And so I did start to do quite a bit of reading. But then afterwards, I began to realize that I couldn't, you know, there was just so much stuff out there on any subject one was interested in. You couldn't really absorb it all. So I then actually started to cut back on my reading because I realized you couldn't really read everything in the subject, and I just tended to pay it. But I tend to pay attention. If there's a subject I'm interested in, it comes up, like on TV or something like that, I pay attention to what's said. And, you know, and that's so I just keep picking up here and there more information.
So when you were a young kid, were you like me and other curious young kids? Did you take apart radios, parts of TVs and that, just trying to figure out how they work?
Well, no, I didn't do that. My cousin Bill was good at that. He wound up really good at knowing how to fix things. But no, I didn't take apart mechanical things. I didn't do that.
I'm curious. I mean, you have such a great love of reading and books and analyzing thinking. Why you never tried to be like a history teacher or a science teacher?
Well, for one thing, that's not really the direction I like to go in. I prefer, actually, I find it easier if I do things with my hands. I worked in a factory, and I actually preferred that, working on a machine and making things and doing something physical. I actually prefer that over just doing paperwork. You know, I enjoy learning and finding out about things, but it's not what I enjoy the most. I always enjoy it more if I'm actually doing something physical or doing something with somebody.
But you like working with power tools and building things out of wood or building things out of metal or fixing things inside your house or on your house?
I enjoy most physical things, working around the house or doing things. And I think the most fun that I had was there at one time. I was part of a church group, and we went down to this one place, and we did work for this one camp. And it's really fun when you actually get together as a group and you work together. I enjoyed most jobs I had, as you know, especially the last job I had when I was working in Dunlop. I enjoyed that.
It interests me, you were in the Army during the very tense time where we almost had a nuclear war and all humans could have been killed during the Cuban Missile Crisis. What lessons did you learn from being in the Army when possibly all humans could have been killed?
Well, I noticed that, the least gung-ho people tended to be the the real professionals, like the officers and stuff, because they were mature enough to know what was involved. You know, I guess, you know, I think at that time everybody was aware that was a possibility, and this is one area where they give us a break on our property tax here if you were in at that time, and in a sense it's almost kind of funny because the people in the Army weren't in any different position than the people in civilian life if you're talking about like the Berlin crisis. Uh-huh. Because, I mean, if that had exploded, people in the Army wouldn't have been at any greater risk than the people living in the cities.
Well, do you think if the U.S. would have actually invaded Cuba, do you think that would have escalated into a total world war and that basically all humans would have been killed?
Well, all humans wouldn't have been killed in a nuclear exchange, but it would have caused a huge amount of destruction. At that point, the U.S. and Russia didn't have the arsenals they had later on. Later on, they had like about 20,000 each, would have really made a real mess out of the world because of all the stuff that would have been thrown in the atmosphere. But that was during Kennedy's, and I think he had about 1,000 missiles, and the Russians decided to build a comparable amount. So it wouldn't have been the end of civilization, and our country would have probably survived it, but it would have been a lot of destruction. Very likely could have become one because the Soviet military personnel, we now know, in Cuba, had the authority to use tactical nuclear weapons. And then what would the United States have done? Because our troops would have been literally vaporized as they hit the shore, and after tens of thousands of U.S. troops had been killed with Russian tactical nuclear weapons, would we have responded to that? If we'd have gone after Russia itself after that, then yeah, there would have been a major war.
Okay, but after analyzing all the facts that Cuba had the tactical nuclear weapons ready to fire if we invaded, that's what the instructions of the Russian officers were, and you would have been on one of the ships coming to Cuba if you attacked as one of the Army people that build things, right?
Yeah.
So, was your chances of survival if we invaded probably about 20%?
Yeah, odds are real good because if we'd have staged an invasion, our unit would have been part of it because we were combat engineers and certainly the first people that hit the beaches would have been dead. And I don't know exactly at what point we would have been on that, but we would have been in, not the beginning wave maybe, but we would have been in at some point because they would have wanted, we would have been important to, because we were mobilized and stuff. And if we'd have been in the front group, yeah, we would have been annihilated. And also, too, if you'd been in ships offshore, those might have been hit.
Okay, so after all you've gone through, and meeting all these very good people in the Army and throughout your family life, who is the person that you would most like to have in a foxhole with you?
Well,
your father, your brother.
Yeah. And you know, people I know, my cousin Bill would be excellent because he knows his stuff pretty well, and he was in the Army. There's one sergeant I had who was really excellent, you know. I wouldn't mind having, you know, he would have been good, you know, in the foxhole.
Okay, what's your favorite movie of all time? Schindler's List?
Well, I thought that was a good movie. I think one I liked a lot was Forbidden Planet.
Forbidden Planet? What's the theme of that movie?
Well, I was a young person then, so it was one of the first movies I saw I really enjoyed. And there was a classic. It was a science fiction about where they went to this other planet. But the monsters in it weren't some monsters that people couldn't defeat. They were actually monsters created from the human mind, which was made it very interesting. I think the one I enjoyed the most, though, was Mad World.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the theme about that?
Well, it showed on TV a while ago. It had all the top comedians in it. It had Milton Berle and Phil Silvers and Mickey Rooney and I mean just all the top comedy people in it. And the movie was about supposedly this guy who had robbed a ton of money told all these people where it was, and then they all took off, and each one of them tried to get there first, and it was really a riot. It was really funny.
Was it a big lie where the money was?
Oh, they found it. They did find it.
Oh, they eventually found it?
Yeah, but then the cop took it, then he took off with it. But the thing is this was a real slapstick thing with a lot of action in it. Cars flying, planes flying, almost crashing, and a lot of action. And when I saw it, I was in San Francisco, and I met this guy who was drunk. And I was from Buffalo, and he was from Chicago, so we hung around together, and we both bought tickets to it. And this is back when the theater screens were the biggest they ever were.
Really?
Because, yeah, they had gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, and now they were the biggest they ever were. And this was CinemaScope, to where the screen wrapped, the front of the theater was huge. It was the biggest it had ever been. It would be equivalent to about, I don't know, 4 or 5 of today's screens. And it wasn't tall like the IMAX. It just wrapped right around you in front. We sat right in the front row, so we had this huge screen in front of us wrapping right around us to the left and to the right. And all this action going on, it was like we were right in the center of it. And really? That was fun. I really enjoyed that.
Well, do you think movie theaters were better back then? And do you think movies were better back then, too?
Well, the movie theaters definitely were. I mean, they had gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And that was to the point where they were at their biggest. And now they kind of chopped them up in little tiny boxes.
Yeah, just a little tiny cinemas. Yeah,
yeah.
But do you think that the quality of movies is better today or worse?
Well, for special effects, they're outstanding. They can produce a real dinosaur now. I mean, that's amazing. You look at the thing, and even watch TV, and you see them do a nature show about dinosaurs. And if you didn't know those things didn't exist, it looks just like a nature show. I mean, they can do things now that are just unbelievable.
But do you think the acting is better or worse today?
Oh, that depends on the film. That depends on the film, yeah.
Okay, what is your favorite song and musical group of all time?
Oh, man. The first thing that reminds me of had good songs in it was Oklahoma. But of the musicals, I thought South Pacific was good because there was a lot in those songs if you listen
really?
To them. Yes, yes. You Have to Be Carefully Taught and some of these other songs. They had a clear message to them. Gilbert Sullivan is funny. If you listen to some of his are very, very humorous.
Well, how come they used to have, back then, more musical movies, and nowadays it's more special effects movies?
Well, I guess because special effects is easier, and I don't know if people...
And maybe cheaper, because you can do a lot of it on computers.
Well, yeah, and the musical was really kind of a spectacular thing, but now I guess it wouldn't be as spectacular because people are getting MTV or their TV all the time. So they're looking for something else other than the musical. But musicals are still popular to some extent. But back then, the biggest thing was a musical.
Okay, so Fred, when you grew up, there was a lot of good musical groups, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, etc. What was your favorite musical group and what was your favorite songs? I'm guessing it had to be at least one Beatles song, right?
No, I was kind of... I never really did take to the pop artists too much as a young person. I was... I think I identified more with the older music. I identified more with things like Oklahoma and South Pacific and stuff like that. I never really got excited about the Beatles or
Rolling Stones
or the Rolling Stones or the other ones. I guess I was more of the previous generation, maybe not in age, but just in attitude. I was not really part of the hippies generation.
Didn't like Buddy Holly and the Crickets?
No, I didn't.
So you really didn't have a favorite group or a favorite singing act?
No, well, I wound up later on becoming a fan of Olivia Newton-John, but that wasn't just because of the music. I thought she was cute, and I kind of liked her and stuff like that, and so I still am a fan of hers. But there's a lot of singers I have enjoyed. You know, I mean, it's fun to, you know, listen to Carly Simon and some of the others. Oh, of all the rock stars, the one I thought I've come to the conclusion is one of the most beautiful voices is Roy Orbison. I think he's got a fantastic voice. But I've come to that within the last decade or two because I really didn't listen to or pay much attention to those stars. But when I hear Roy Orbison, I think, man, nobody can top that voice.
But you don't have, like, some people's favorite song is like the Beatles song Let It Be or I Want to Hold Your Hand. You really don't have a favorite song?
No, I can't. There was one, let me see, at the one of the movies they had, it's like goes What a Feeling. It's like in Flashdance.
Oh, Flashdance?
Yeah.
Oh, What a Feeling. Yeah.
What a Feeling. Yeah. And it's like, you know, dance through your life. And you can take that symbolically and apply it to life, not just simply the concept of dance. You can think of life itself as being a dance and apply it to life itself.
Uh-huh. Okay. Like when I was growing up, like my father, when I was about five, he took me to his baseball games, his basketball games, his football games, and his bowling leagues. So he instilled a great love of sports in you. Did your father instill a great love of sports in you?
Well, baseball was a big thing when I grew up, and it was like everything set aside the World Series. But no, my father didn't take me to a lot of a sports game. He took us fishing once in a while because he liked fishing.
Do you got a great love for fishing?
Well, not really. I didn't take to it too much, you know. Oh, one of the things on the singing, one of the things which gets me mad about some bands is some of them, they allow the music to overpower the lyrics so you can't hear what they're singing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now, see, this is one reason why I like Quiet Riot. If I want something that makes me, you know, jump a little bit or something like that, I like Quiet Riot, and I don't mind the fact that they have real loud music because I feel like that's okay. And what they do that's right is they have really loud music, but they amplify the vocals to the point where you can't help but hear them.
Right.
So they don't get drowned out by their own band.
Okay, so, Fred, what are some of the most important lessons that you learned in life?
Well,
weather in Buffalo sucks. So
well, the thing is I think you have to take each day at a time.
One day at a time.
Right? Yeah, and I think everybody should set goals. I think if you set, you know, goals that have anything to them, I mean, if you have standards, and I don't necessarily mean goals, I have to achieve specifically this, but I mean, if you set worthwhile goals, you'll never 100% achieve them. You'll always have some, you know, little improvement you have to
like
make.
Shoot for the stars, and if you miss, at least you hit the moon.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, I mean, because everybody always has room for improvement. If somebody sits back and says, "Hey, man, I'm everything I want to be, and that's it," and I don't mean necessarily in material things that you want to be able to, you know, have a little more money or do this or do that. It's just that there's always something more.
Okay, well, I hate to tell you this, Fred, but our time is up, and I want to thank you for traveling a great distance to do the interview, and good luck with all your future endeavors, and if you gamble on horses, I hope you have a big winner.
Okay.
And we'll see you.